Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal Score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Right, with Mitch, you've stated your belief in him as the starter for the season, but do you want him to feel that belief, or do you want him to feel the pressure of competition potentially coming in?
I think, you know, it's for us, with every player, it's a combination of everything. You know, like we believe in him. We're going to support him. We're going to be better around him. But I think competition brings out the best in everybody.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Ryan Pace. And yeah, all of it, everything. Was that the answer? Yeah, everybody.
Well,
I mean, come on. Go ahead.
Well, let's look at the timeline, Mully. I mean, December 31st, Ryan Pace says after the season at the ending press conference, Mitch is going to be our starter in 2020, right? February 25th at the NFL Combine, he comes out and says competition brings out the best in everybody. We have yet to hear him couch the Nick Foles trade or explain it or rationalize it. But my sense is that he'll maintain that very little has changed in his, you know, philosophy and his viewpoint that Mitch is the starter and competition will bring out the best in everyone, including Nick Foles, and Nick Foles will make Mitch better. At the same time, we found out yesterday that they shrewdly structured the contract that allows him to be right, even if he's wrong. Even if we know, I think, that they will turn to Nick Foles when they need to win a meaningful football game. And I think that Nick Foles will be the quarterback that has a bigger impact on 2020 than Mitch Trubisky. So you can follow the timeline of what he says, but you also follow the money and remember that it's still, no matter how you structure the deal, it's $21 million guaranteed, and that's quite a commitment.
It's 21 guaranteed, and I didn't at the time. I want to see this contract, David, because I believe at the time of the trade, everybody, one of the things was that it was effectively a one-year deal, that if he wanted to, he could get out of the deal. He had an opt-out after the first year. So what is it? I mean, how much does he get? I know what the guarantee is, but does he get all that money if he opts out? I mean, explain the opt-outs. Let me look at that deal and break it down a little, and I'll have a much better feel for it. But you're right. They've stretched it now the way they're talking about it to make it look as if Mitch is the starter and doesn't have major competition coming in.
Well, it looks like it's pretty player-friendly, Mully, but I think that in making it player-friendly, according to all we know is what we have seen Ian Rappaport, you know, put out there, and we have yet to see the contract ourselves or have it studied, but according to Rappaport's report that he has still the 21 fully guaranteed, you know, 21 million fully guaranteed, 6 million available in incentives every season, and he can void 21 and 22 based on performance. So let's play this out. let's say that he starts in more than 10 games, which I think if you put 10 as the over-under, I'll take the over. Then let's say he has a pretty good year. He's a free agent. He could void those still. So yep. That's what you get, I suppose.
And people look at it and they say, you got to worry about what happens. If he does well, he opts out, he leaves. If he does well, he's not going anywhere, okay? You just have to pay him more money. That's all that means. It doesn't mean that if a guy has a good year on a team, a guy like him who has become kind of a vagabond, he's going to want to lock in someplace. He's not going to want to leave. If he takes over that job and they have some kind of a run and he does well, you're telling me that he wants out? No, he just wants to get paid. It's a different deal.
Everybody has to look at it in the context of an individual player's career. And in the context of Nick Foles' career, you've got to remember, one, you called him a vagabond. I love that word. But you're right. I mean, look how many teams he's played for. Number two, he's coming to Chicago after an unsuccessful season in Jacksonville on the field. But you know what he did off the field? He got paid. He got $30 million for his efforts in Jacksonville. This is not somebody that wants to cut and run. He's not somebody that's dying to get to free agency.
Right.
He's been there and done that and made himself a lot of money. So I agree with you. That's a point worth remembering. If Foles succeeds in this offense, he would be crazy to want to leave. And him succeeding in this offense is the only way that he'll be able to leave, because he could void those contract years, the final two seasons. But why would he want to do that if he's having a good time here?
You know, the other element here is Mitch. And what is the expectation for Mitch? They are treating Mitch differently than they have before. The coddling period is over, and now it's it's not crawling, it's walk like a man time. And if he does that, if this brings out the best in him, then it was a good move. And even if you don't have to turn to, and I can't imagine a scenario, but even if somehow Foles doesn't take over, if his presence pushes Mitch, then it works out great for the Bears either way. And again, the difference here, even though he was paid like a starter in Jacksonville, he was injured, he lost his job, and now he's gone. That is, as you say, he hit the lotto. Who wouldn't want 1 year where you make $30 million? But the fact is that Mitch, any other player they bring in here, if they go out and get somebody, that guy's the starter. This, they could make an argument that he's not. This gives them one last gasp with Trubisky, which I'm not looking forward to, but who knows? There's got to be a reason they keep saying this stuff.
They want to take a look, one last final look perhaps, to see if this 41-game NFL internship leads to a full-time job. I doubt that it will, Mully. I doubt that it will.
Well put. It really is. We've seen enough. We know what we're looking at. But, every time the guy talks, he compares him to Drew Brees, and he talks about kind of a late bloomer thing. And I don't quite understand it, David, but I guess if I had invested the kind of picks and the kind of money into Mitch and passed on players, I think I'd probably be trying to do a little soft shoe myself.
You know what we need to do? We need to find somebody in Philadelphia. And I understand the Jacksonville experience soured a lot of people on Nick Foles. And I get that. But it was a bad fit, and he had an injury, and he never kind of got past that. But there were people in Philadelphia when Nick Foles, after he won the Super Bowl, after he was the Super Bowl MVP, that felt like he was a better option for the Eagles than a healthy Carson Wentz. And when you think about that, I'm not saying that he was, and I'm not saying that he's better than Carson Wentz now, but I'm saying that when he was at his best, he got people believing in him to the point that they felt like he was better than a guy who had MVP-type potential and performed like an MVP at times. And that may be an extreme example, but the best of Nick Foles and the best of Mitch Trubisky that we have seen, there's no question why the Bears are guaranteeing him more money than the guy they drafted second overall, because the ceiling, to me, for 2020 is much higher with Nick Foles, a guy that already has been to the top of the mountain.
It's so bizarre the way the Bears quarterbacks have worked out for them, or more accurately, not worked out for them. It is just, it's almost, do you not think it's like a cursed position? I don't know how to watch Bears football and not feel like this has just been one kind of shot in the dark after another. It's hard to be enthusiastic about Nick Foles just based on the guy who signed him. And it's hard to be enthusiastic about the position. I mean, what was it? Sid Blackman, right? We'll never forget the way you thrilled the nation with the T formation.
I've got the bobblehead. I've got the Sid Blackman bobblehead. Yes.
That's awesome.
And Mully, on Jay Cutler Day, the anniversary of the trade back in 2009, it's a good reminder never to get too carried away with the new quarterback in town.
Especially, I mean, we asked a question this morning. We were talking about Mike Glennon somehow, and you asked if he's still in the league, and Kevin tells us no. He was released by the Raiders, and he's out there. So if you want to bring him back, it could be his year.
No. I think I'll take a pass on that. Mike Glennon, he made enough money from the Bears. I think that his next stop might be the XFL if they resume play whenever they do.
I think he's too old for the XFL. They want younger guys trying to prove something. You know, we go back and forth about the quarterback thing, and I get it. I understand. Is there a scenario in your mind where Mitch does, where something does click, where the pressure does help him to do something that you don't anticipate from him? Do you think, would it help them if they picked up the option year, which again, you don't pay unless you have to. They picked up the option on Leonard Floyd and look what happened there.
You know, we've been around pro sports long enough never to rule out anything like that because, you know, Trubisky does have athleticism. He does have some traits that you like. But I've just seen enough, and I think a lot of people have. You've seen so much of it that the flaws have been revealed. And I think when you see those flaws, they're the things that make the most indelible mark in your memory. So, yeah, it's plausible, and but I don't know that it's as realistic as some people want to believe that it is. Crazier things have happened, especially here in Chicago with the quarterback position. But I think the Bears now have protected themselves, and they have said and they have announced and declared that their patience is running out. And that means that they have an alternative that is maybe in some degree a better alternative than Mitch Trubisky. So they're telling you that they've seen enough too, and they're seeing the same game that you're watching and are tired of seeing.
And I think one of the great mistakes in fandom is this belief that if you see somebody else do it, look what Drew Brees did. He had a renaissance. Look what Alex Smith did. Oh, what a career renaissance. They did that with other teams than the ones that drafted him. So if Mitch is going to probably turn it around, it might not be here to begin with. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think it's a good addition. I think it's going to give the offense a little bit of spark, but I think it has really, and hear what I'm saying, I think it's really put Mitch Trubisky behind the eight ball. And by that, I mean, I think Mitch comes out of this thing being the starter, but I think that fans and media are going to be sitting there waiting for his first interception. And the first interception that he throws, or the first sack fumble he has, they're going to be screaming for Foles, and that's going to be the end of Mitch. He is in a tough situation.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That was Dave Wanstead on with you guys last week. I was on spring break. It didn't go anywhere, and there was no sun. But who's complaining? David, it was fascinating to hear what Dave had to say, because I think there's no question about it that even if Mitch ends up as the starter, people are going to want – you know, we always talk about the backup being the most popular guy in town. This is times 10. This is the back. This yeah. is a totally different feel.
And Mully, if anybody knows what it's like for a backup quarterback to incur the wrath of Bears fans, it's Dave Wanstead, who lived through his share of bad quarterbacking. And you know, the only guy in town who might be happy, or that's probably not happy, but who might benefit from the NFL playing games with no fans in the stands would be Mitch Trubisky, because he couldn't get booed.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Frank. Frank's in the West Loop. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Frank.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Good.
All right, yeah, well, where do I begin with this scenario? I appreciate you comparing the Breeze and Smith scenario, because it's like the same thing. But you're number one. You're talking about a complete different echelon of quarterback, number one. Number two, I'm not going to go back and say, oh, you know, 3 years ago, we missed out on this guy, missed out on that guy. Listen, we took a chance on Mitch. We realized, in my opinion, okay, he could be the worst NFL starting quarterback I've ever seen in my life. Okay, that's number two. Number three, once again, they're coddling him, even giving him another chance to prove that he's the worst NFL quarterback in football, okay? And then you talk about a man who's not only a terrible quarterback as a player, he's emotionally not prepared for the NFL still, okay? And then when you're going to pull this guy out of a starting position, he may go into hiding, okay? He may NFL.
Frank, go back to that point. Why is he emotionally unequipped? I don't understand getting that.
I don't think he can handle the media. I don't think, going back to, we turned the TVs off, we did this. And the best part about it all was, my opinion, from all the way up to the top, down to our terrible coach as well, they coddled him. They treated him like a baby, okay? And, okay, Mitch, oh, yeah, okay, you're terrible. You know, you go three quarters of a football game without a first down. Okay, I would literally, even though he would get murdered, God forbid, on the field, I would take anyone over Mitch Trubisky, plain and simple. Okay,
see, so Dave makes
thanks,
a point
Frank.
There. I mean, thanks, Frank. That is the point. I mean, that's Dave is absolutely spot on. Mitch is going to, and it's his own fault. I'm not saying it's anyone else's fault. And by fault, I just mean it's his own performance that led to it. But the minute there is any kind of issue, you got a guy standing there that won a Super Bowl, was an MVP in a Super Bowl. Put that guy in. What are you doing? Why are you playing this kid? Put that guy in. It's going to happen.
Well, the Bears have sort of designed this system to fail for Mitch because of those realities. And those are the realities in Chicago or really any NFL city. And unfortunately, through 41 games, you know, there are some positives that Mitch has kind of displayed and some things that he, you know, is known for. He's very athletic when he's better when he's using his feet. You know, all the things he can throw on the run, but unfortunately his flaws are he's inaccurate. And I think that he's developed a reputation, Mully, and probably earned by the things that he has said that have portrayed him as not being very mentally tough. And so when you challenge him the way the Bears have challenged him this offseason, the coddling is over, as you said, there's not a lot of confidence, if any, in town that Mitch Trubisky can handle this mentally because he's not proven to be strong enough to do that in the past.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off.
You know, to me, the worst one was when he turned to the PR guy to find out if he could answer.
Right.
I can't really say.
Right.
I mean, are you kidding me? That's,
that,
and maybe that's, but I don't think, you know, when you say a guy's emotionally incapable of playing, or you know, that to me is somebody that just breaks down and weeps instead of, I don't know how, or goes absolutely crazy. I think Mitch is a fairly even keeled guy. I mean, maybe people wonder if he's engaged enough, but I don't think that's the case.
Oh, I think he is. That makes him a good teammate. I mean, that makes him a popular teammate.
Yes.
He is very even-keeled. I think he's relatable. A lot of people like spending time with Mitch. He has leadership traits. He, you know, but what happens is, and we've seen it too often, I mean, how you manage perception will eventually affect your reality, and he doesn't do that really well. He isn't good in those situations. He doesn't project publicly the way that he connects privately. And that's going to be something he has to get better at, because with Nick Foles, guys like Nick Foles, you can tell immediately whether it's on Instagram, in person, or at the podium, or in the huddle. Nick Foles comes across differently like a more mature quarterback, like a mature professional than Mitch Trubisky does.
He's had success, and it shows. Mitch has had three and outs, and it shows. Let's get to John from Rolling Meadows. Hey, John, how are you?
Morning, John.
Hey, guys. I hope you're being safe. I know you are, Molly. You're at home. Good for you.
David's at
I
home, too.
I want you to look
where,
at
where
it.
Am I, John? I'm at home, too. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, are you? You're at home now, too, Dave? Good.
Yep.
Good. Be safe. Be safe. That's the big thing. You got to – let's look at this realistically, okay? And you know, I have been a Mitch supporter, and I'm thinking they bring Foles in. He's run this offense. He knows the system. Mitch has not had anybody in there that has actually run the system. Matt has never run the system. He has not had anybody to bang ideas off of, to ask questions.
What about Chase Daniel? What was he doing? That's all.
Well, you know
the only reason
Chase
he was
Daniel
there, he
was,
run the system.
Well, there's a big difference between somebody that has run the system and been successful, like Foles has with Philly, and knows what he's looking at, and can, you know, he knows exactly where to look defensively to defense. He's more of an Alex Smith player than Daniels was. He's a complete team player. He'll help Mitch. You know what happens? You bring in Foles, you start him. Look at Foles' starting record. He's not good as a starter. With Philadelphia, you had a great offensive line. You had all pro wide receivers. He just managed the team and let his guys do their job. The Bears don't have that. They don't have a running game, and you've got, in my view, an inept offensive coordinator that will not run the ball. And if you do not run the ball, I don't care if you have Aaron Rodgers in here, any quarterback that has to throw the ball 35 times is not going to win here.
Okay.
Thanks, John. I'd take Aaron Rodgers.
Tell it to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly. I'd take Aaron Rodgers too, Molly. I don't know about you.
I'd
take no running game in Aaron Rodgers every Sunday.
Aaron Rodgers won't come here because he wants to remain a Packer. He says that legacy is important to him. That's nice.
I don't blame him for wanting to remain a Packer for life. He doesn't want to go the Tom Brady route, but talk to me in 5 years. You never know.
Yeah. Brett Favre. Yeah, he was a Packer for life when he came from Atlanta, remember, before he went to the Jets in Minnesota.
I'm just glad you're home about now, David. I'm glad you're being safe and staying home.
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know. He thought you were
when
in the
was
studio.
It I?
Do you sound better than I do? Is that what's happening here?
I'm not quite sure. Maybe he felt like last week when Zach was there that maybe I was in studio. But I have not been in studio since a week ago. Well, it'll be 2 weeks on Friday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Both doing what we have to do.
Last time I drove, I mentioned that earlier. I just haven't been able to, you know, and Dustin,
I'm telling you,
insult me. But if I'm doing errands, my wife drives the minivan, and it's not a minivan, but whatever it is, it's a bigger car, and we go in that because the kids are more comfortable in the back if we're going on a drive anywhere to get anything.
At the break, you better check your garage.
It only drives me around if I've had six or more Bud Lights.
Yeah, that's Dustin says to me, no woman will drive me around. And I'm kind of like, dude, I love not having to drive. My wife's a great driver, and I trust her implicitly.
Dustin, what if you call an Uber, and the Uber driver happens to be a woman? Are you okay with that?
Yes, because usually I'm using Uber because I've been out having Bud Lights. And I can't wait, David, to be able to go back out and have Bud Lights and have a woman Uber driver take me home.
All right. 312-644-6767. Let's get to Paul. He's in Lakeview. Hey, Paul.
Morning, Paul.
Hi, gentlemen. I love you guys. I love your honesty regarding Ryan Pace and Mitch Trubisky. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. What, Ryan Pace goes to the Sun Bowl to scout Mitch? He doesn't register as a scout, and he thinks he finds the next Drew Brees? I mean, wait, this guy just messed up the next 10 or 15 years of Bears football. I mean, these guys need to, like, adjust their tinfoil hats. You got Mitch. He's supposed to read defenses, you know, and schemes and stuff like that, and then he's parroting things that he probably hears from coaches about turning TVs off in Hallis Hall. You know, Nick Foles, another enigma, okay? Yeah, okay, he had okay track record with Philly twice, and then with the Jimmy Graham signing? I mean, you know, and this is no surprise to anybody who's been watching Bears football for a long time. The Bears at the QB position in the Super Bowl era are last in every quarter category. And, you know, it's like how many top 10 defenses have we squandered over the years since 85? Let alone
Paul,
how many top five defenses has we squandered.
Paul,
so that's
why
all
did
great
you call
point. Great point,
why
Paul.
Is Nick Foles an enigma? I don't get that. Why is he enigmatic? I don't
know what he is. He can't stay healthy. Hello?
Yeah, no, yeah, we hear you.
Oh, okay, yeah, he can't. I mean, yeah, he is he had that run, you know, it was like a Joe Flacco run, you know, through the playoffs into the Super Bowl. And but, I mean, he hasn't stayed healthy. And, you know, he goes to Jack. He had, what, the soul-searching years of when he went to the Rams. He was going to quit playing football. And then he went back to Philly, and they got the Super Bowl. And we just don't know what we got with him.
You know, you can't – thanks for the phone call, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Molly, I just don't think you can, like, in the Seinfeld version or definite – you can't yada, yada, yada Nick Foles for the Super Bowl. That was a pretty significant thing over.
Right. That was an unbelievable run, and that was fantastic. And you know what? When you talk about Ryan Pace, you know, to me, if indeed they end up going to Foles, we're going to know a lot more about Matt Nagy. If this offense doesn't work with Foles as the trigger man, then maybe it wasn't Mitch's fault. But I don't know that it won't. So we'll see how it breaks down. We're going to get to Bruce next. Bruce Levine will join us. Next, it's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I love you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the El Pamonte Hotline. El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Bruce. How are you, pal?
Good morning, Bruce. Guys. Good morning, gentlemen. And I have one question for you guys in just a little while after you start asking me a few, okay?
Sure.
Okay. All right. But
you want us to go first?
It's your show, you know, so I think it's only right you go first.
So, Bruce, how are you holding up during this whole thing, and what do you make of some of the, I guess let's start with the Jason Kipnis comments about questioning whether or not a three-week spring training, if and when baseball does resume, is long enough.
It's long enough, and I have the answer for you. So 1995, right? We go back to that strike year. 1994, there was a strike. The season ended on August 11th. There was only 112 games played that year. It went all the way into 1995. There was no normal spring training. There was still a strike lockout in English. And they used replacement players up until April 1st when there was a deal struck between both sides. They had a three-week spring training. And in the case of the Chicago Cubs, Jamie Navarro, their number one starter, came out. And in his first three starts, threw 7-7 and 8 innings. Every starting pitcher on the 1995 Cubs, all five threw more than 150. Four of them threw more than 160. Navarro threw 200 innings, and that is with just 29 starts. So it can be, and it will be done. You know, I can hear Harry in the background. It might be, it could be, it can be done. So I think 3 weeks is going to be enough, and position players should be more than ready. It's usually about the pitching. And if you think 25 years ago is a different era of pitcher and they can't, and the modern era might not be able to keep up with it, I don't know. But guys are still throwing 33 starts.
Bruce, there's a really wonderful thing going on in the Score here. We're doing the 17 games and 17 nights. And it started last night, the interactive radio show with Pat and Ron and our buddy Joe talking about the games as they're ongoing. Is there a favorite among those games? Is that opening series one of your favorites when you look back on it?
It is, and I think the fifth game where they came from behind in the ninth inning and took that game when they were facing the possibility of having to return to Chicago for game five if they lost that game. And they were dominated in that game until the ninth inning and the bullpen came in for the Giants. And if they would have had to go back to Chicago, the Giants would have had Johnny Cueto, the hottest pitcher in the playoffs, one of the hottest pitchers in baseball that year, going in game five. So there was a lot of doom and gloom about if you had to go to game five. The Cubs come back, you know, Zobrist. Of course, it's always Zobrist. He starts the whole thing, and they win miraculously and take that series in four games. I thought that was a really pivotal part of the playoffs for them. You can go to so many different games, and it's going to be so much fun listening to all of those games on the Score as they're played over these 17 nights.
Oh, it was fun last night. I mean, you heard the enthusiasm in Ron and Pat's voice during the pregame show. They were like just excited to be talking about baseball again. Bruce, and everybody is anxious, and as each day that passes, we'll get a little bit more eager to see a return to the field. Now, obviously, the medical experts are right. The virus will establish the timeline for sports and when they return, but of all the scenarios that you've seen, when would you reasonably project opening day?
Oh, you can't do it. You can't, because we can't even project when the governor is going to let us out of the house. To even be around more than just a few people and 6 feet away. So you just can't do it. It's folly at this point. Now, I can tell you the Major League Baseball and the people that are running it are looking at multiple models of different time variables and different situations of games that could be or can be played at different junctures of whether it's late June, July, you know,
all kinds of different models with all kinds of different scenarios of, you know, a half season, you know, extended season into October, shortened playoffs. Everything that you can imagine is on the table. But the people there assured me that they can't even begin to put a solid plan in place because they have no timeline at this point in time. Hopefully this thing subsides soon and people start, you know, we get our health back and we're allowed to gather in groups. But just think of the first challenge, okay? When do they tell 35 guys they can be in a small room together for the first time, okay? And if one guy gets sick, what happens at that point? So from that perspective, you know, we have a way to go. But I can promise you the good people at MLB are looking at all those scenarios right now.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating to think about it. And, you know, people throw out July 4th as a possibility. We heard that the other day. And, you know, it's just for whatever reason, we want to hook things to holidays.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know that that makes a ton of sense. But I think, you know, you're absolutely right about it. What we're doing here is waiting for some sort of treatment that allows us to kind of get back to a normal life. And then once that happens, then you can kind of put together all the scenarios around it, and hopefully you'll have a vaccine by whatever next year. But you need to have a treatment so that we're not all walking around as carriers and all the rest of it. And one of the things we're talking about, Bruce, is playing games where there wouldn't be a crowd. How would that? I can't even imagine that, but. But people make jokes that the Sox have been through that. Nonetheless, it is, it's not something that anybody would want to see. I remember that game in Baltimore watching that, just truly bizarre.
Yeah, the no energy part of it. Now, every player I've talked to about it, and I'm sure you guys have and will go through this talking to more players down the road here the next couple of, you know, weeks and hopefully not months. But regardless, they all say we get our energy, we get our pick up from the fans and from playing in front of our home crowds. And as Anthony Rizzo said, on the away games, they get their energy by showing getting the boos against them and all the energy back from trying to beat that crowd and beat that team. And with an empty ballpark, you know, you wonder how much energy will be put forth, how entertaining it would be with a couple of announcers, even though we have the greatest announcers in the world here in Chicago. You know, how will it be with the announcers, just the announcers and the game going on itself? Nonetheless, people are probably screaming right now listening to this. We'll take our baseball any form we can as long as we have our game. Yep.
You know, Bruce, as much as it was such a almost comforting to hear Pat Ron talk about the Cubs the other day, boy, it was nice to hear Lucas Giolito talk again about baseball. And during the teleconference, I think he just reminded us just how much he's got everything, he's all together. He's got a great perspective. What was your biggest takeaway from that teleconference hearing from Giolito?
Well, just the confidence in the sport and that, you know, we all have high hopes about the game coming back and that we need it. You know, as much as it's the toy store of real life, sports are so essential for people's escape. And boy, we all need that now, don't we? I mean, you know, there's just something that's missing in our lives as sports fans, and that's the escape that the game allows us from everyday mundane life. And I think everyone will have a finer appreciation for it, and I think that he has that appreciation right now that, hey, it might not be the most important thing in the world, but it's important to him and his family and sports fans out there, and he's going to do his best to stay in shape and be ready when the bell rings. And, again, a finer appreciation of what we've all taken for granted our whole lives.
It's interesting, Bruce, because I think that if there's one team out there that might be able to handle no crowds, it might be the Astros. And of course, Jim Crane in the news again yesterday. There is that lawsuit from Mike Bolsinger about the awful illegal sign stealing, and he filed a claim saying that that he has been explicitly exonerated by MLB and by Manfred, and so therefore he shouldn't be involved in this lawsuit. Apparently, by filing that, according to Bolsinger's lawyer, they now feel there can be discovery. There's already been looking for discovery in the New York case that features some of the fantasy baseball people suing over this. What would that do to MLB? What would that do to Manfred if that investigation were completely revealed? Because I'm not sure how that would break down in court or if that would happen. But if it did, I imagine Major League Baseball doesn't want it out.
No, and if you take it all the way through the scenario that you laid out, Mike, how would it be with Jose Altuve on the stand testifying? You know, how would it be the, because that's where it would go. That those players who were exonerated by Major League Baseball would not be exonerated in a courtroom, okay, on a civil suit. So from all of that, it would be the most fascinating soap opera that we've seen in sports in many, many years. But nonetheless, I'm sure, as we all know, settlements have always been a big part of baseball. But once the Astros do, if indeed they follow through on my idea that they would settle a case like this down the road, then how many more are they going to have to deal with for guys whose careers might have been impacted by playing the Astros and not doing well?
Okay, Bruce, we're done asking you questions. You said you had a couple for us. How can we help?
Just one closing. What is your uniform attire, and is it pants or no pants?
Molly, you go first.
Well, I you know, it's funny that you asked that, because I did get up and take a shower and make sure that I had cleaned up my act. I'm wearing a nice pair of khakis and a sweater. It's funny you mention that, though, because at one point one of my kids was walking downstairs talking to someone on FaceTime, and my wife is like, "Hey, where are your pants?" Which is not something you want to hear when you're talking to someone. So it was pretty amusing to hear that in my house.
You know, I've gone through the same routine, Bruce, as I do every day, like if I were driving in and going to the studio.
Right.
So I have on exactly what I would be wearing normally. So I am wearing pants, glad to report. It just seems like it's better to maintain that sort of routine or that structure, because it feels like you're commuting, even though the commute is, you know, I don't have to worry about traffic except for the two dogs, and they get out of the way pretty quickly in the morning.
Just, David, just one suggestion. The tie and the sport coat's a little overdressed for sitting at home.
I'll loosen my tie for you, Bruce. Thank you.
Guys,
all right, Bruce.
Thanks a lot.
And you,
thanks,
of course, you're wearing your tuxedo because you got that James Bond thing going, so we appreciate
that. Of course. The Epson Healy's waiting downstairs. Take care, guys.
All right, buddy. All right. God bless. That is our guy, Bruce Levi. That's pretty funny. You know, it is funny, though, because you could conceivably just operate it, but we have rules on the show that I do adhere to. Dustin doesn't want anyone wearing shorts. We're not not allowed to wear open shoes, like no,
can't do that, no flip flops
like that. Yeah, you got to have at least jeans and a collared shirt, or don't bother coming in. Dustin,
I am also not wearing pants, just for the record.
Yeah, Kevin's the only guy in the studio. He and Ray are the only ones in the studio.
But there's no one else in the building to tell you can't do that, Kevin. All right?
Damn
security
straight.
Has taken the week off.
Can't tell me nothing.
No one can anyway. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.